get through something else. We're going to cover weddings, start covering weddings today. I've got some sample vows for you. And sometimes couples will come to you and want to make up their own vows. And as long as they're not unscriptural, you might consider it. Some pastors don't consider it. They just say, you know, you'll use, you know, the vows I have or nothing. But so you'll probably want to allow them a little leeway if they want to custom their vows. But pardon me? If they have something like, you know, vowing to stay together until you burn the first meal or something, you probably want to not allow that one. Okay. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 5. Well, actually, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2 to begin with here. And in verse 20, Genesis 2:20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man," what? "Leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So it was God that ordained marriage here. So let's see here. Okay, so the sample wedding vows here give you something to go on. And like I said, sometimes couples decide even that they want to memorize the vows. And so, I mean, they'll want to memorize the whole thing. And you can, the first part here, though, usually you would do would be the latter part. But so you'll see, first of all, you'll say the groom's full name. And then it says, "Wilt thou," or "Will thou," I usually use the older English, "wilt thou have," and then the bride's full name, "to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony. Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as ye both shall live." And now they ask the question to you in rehearsal, what do I say? Do I say I do or I will? Well, according to this, well, I guess the answer is there, isn't it? But what is the key to it, answering I do or I will? Do you see it? Do you see it in the question? The question is wilt or will. So if the question started out like, do you promise to do this, then you say, yes, I do. But if the question is, wilt thou, then I will. And if they will not, they shouldn't be there, right? Okay. So the groom answers, I will, Lord willing. Okay, then you say the bride's full name. And then wilt thou have, then his full name, to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony. Wilt thou love him, comfort him, honor and keep him, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him, so long as you both shall live. And so the bride answers, what? I will. Okay. So then who giveth then the bride's full name to be married to the groom's full name, and then the father answers her mother and I. In just a few minutes, we'll go over a lot of things leading up to this moment, like how everyone comes in and so on. But for right now, it's just the father and the bride are right there, and so he answers her mother and I. Now, there'll be situations, and sadly, it's more and more, there's a lot of broken homes. So, and sometimes one of the persons has died. When Josh and Hannah got married, Brother Jerry was already gone. So that also brings up another thing. If the father is deceased or estranged from the family and it has no part in the wedding, you know, then you have to choose someone else. And of course that would be up to the bride who she would choose. But sometimes if they have a brother, they choose a brother. It might be an uncle. It just might be, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen it outside of the family. Usually they'd stick to a relative to walk her down the aisle. Okay, so he says, her mother and I, then the father turns to hug or kiss the bride, whatever the case, and then the father turns to shake the groom's hand. At least this is what I recommend, you know, to show that you're on good terms. You know, it's nice if the father-in-law to be, well, at least shake hands with the groom. And he may, you know, he may want to give his future son-in-law a hug, you know. That's common too. So anyway, he turns with goodwill anyway toward the groom, and motions him then to come and stand beside the bride. So then the groom and the bride would normally take hands, or that's usually what they would do at that point. Okay, so then at that point, and this is just a suggestion. You don't have to follow this, you know, exactly, but this is just something, a sample for you. At this point, I find it good at this point to pray and ask God to bless the home and then seat the congregation, because everyone is still standing at this point. And I would encourage you to write these things down. I have, let's see here. I have this here. It's called a Christian Minister's Manual, and I just used it in my beginnings just for samples. But what I have really is pasted in the middle of it on the computer, little pages of all of this, just right in row and line, and I leave the blanks. And so with each person, each couple, then I write in pencil their names in here, so that then I can erase it for the next wedding. And so this, you know, I can have just this book with me, or I can have both, my Bible and this. And I can always open my Bible and just put this on here, right on my Bible. But anyway, it's just a nice little handy-sized book. I have no idea. I assume they probably still print these, but it's called the Christian Minister's Manual. Christian Minister's Manual. And you know, maybe you could find just a little black notebook too. This has all kinds. I mean, this has ideas for visiting the sick. I think it has funeral. Yes, it has funeral things in it, wedding things in it. But anyway, so I just, maybe, I'm sure you have much better memory than I do, but when you get in a situation and you get nervous, I've seen people do this with songs. Sometimes they'll have a song memorized, and I know many times for programs and things, you have the songs memorized. But in Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was a man who traveled all over singing for special meetings. And so he seldom ever took music with him up to sing because he knew all these songs. Well, he was singing in church one time down there, and he forgot the words to a verse. And so he just had to make them up as he went. And so our pastor got up and said, well, that was a pretty good job of making up words on the fly, something like that. He said, I never even caught it because it sounded so natural, and I guess I didn't know all the words to the song, but I guess it impressed the pastor too. But it just goes to show you, you might not remember their full name. You know, you might, up in there, you get your thoughts around so many things, you might forget really what their middle name is. Hopefully you won't forget their first name. I write down the full name, just so it's right before me. So you seat the congregation, and then after that, the wedding party moves up on the platform. Sometimes in a wedding, when they first come in, and we'll talk about that in a minute, sometimes they may get set right up on the platform. But what you have in that situation then is, then you have the groom up here with the preacher, and then the bride is down there. And so then it's awkward getting them together. I mean, that's fine if that's the way they want to do it, but then the groom is going to have to go down and get her and bring her up. Where if everyone stays down there until the father gives the bride away, it's just a natural point there then. When you finish that prayer and seat the congregation, then the wedding party moves up at that point into place. It flows a lot better that way. Then the bride and the groom can come up together then. This is a good place for special music. You know, in some weddings there's very little music, in other weddings there's a lot of music. In some weddings, it's all others doing the playing of instruments or singing, and in some weddings, the bride and groom sing. I think sang together at their wedding. It's been a little while since then, but I believe they sang a song together. And I've seen in weddings the bride and or groom play an instrument too, special. So you may need lots of room for music. So here's one spot that's a good spot. You don't have to put it in here, but it's just a good natural point to do it. While everybody's moving up on the platform, and sometimes, many times, weddings that we've had, it might be a good portion of the wedding party will be in a special number. And so at that point, you know, you get in place, but then some are just going to move too. And if you have a lot of movement of the wedding party to do a special, you might want to wait to have the whole party move up. Because if you're going to have a special right then, you might want everybody to stay down there, go do their special, get back in line, and then move up together. Otherwise, then you got part of people up here. It depends on where they're going to sing to. A lot of times special music at weddings is not necessarily done from the platform, but from other spots, so it doesn't interrupt the flow on the platform. Well, as soon as we continue there, then you would say the groom's first name and the bride's first name. And if you don't have this written down, you'll never remember what to do. You know, okay, at this point, do I say their whole name again? You know, what do I do? So then please turn and face each other and join your right hands. And this can be a time when you teach. A lot of pastors at this point will begin to teach not just the couple, but really the whole congregation, some things about marriage. But that's a good point to do that. So then the next page there. So the groom's first name, please repeat after me. And then I... And then you'll want to say the groom's first name, I so-and-so, take these so-and-so. Break it down into small things. I've been at some weddings where the preacher will say, okay, repeat after me, and then he goes a great big long phrase, and it's like that's when sometimes couples get confused. And you don't want to embarrass them. So the shorter you can keep the phrases, it may seem awkward, but and maybe too simplistic, but it's a lot better to err on that side than to have them mess up in the vows. So I, so-and-so, take thee, so-and-so, to be my wedded wife, repeat, to have and to hold from this day forward, repeat, whether it be for richer or poorer, whether it be in sickness or in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy will, I pledge unto thee my faithfulness. And then the same thing with the bride. And then you'd say her first name, please repeat after me, and I, so-and-so, and through that again. Okay, then after that, that's another good spot for music. You've just kind of completed another point in the wedding. So if you have some special music, that's a good point. Then after that, then you'd say the groom's first name. What is the token of your love? And the groom would answer the ring. Now, a lot of times at this point, pastors will also go into the point, you know, the ring is an unending circle and your love is to be unending, you know, for your husband or wife. So this is another good point to teach about marriage and that it's permanent and how it should be. So then you would say the groom's first name, please place this ring on the bride's first name ring finger and repeat after me and keep it short. Again, the phrase is, with this ring I thee wed, they repeat, in the name of the Father, they repeat it, and of the Son, they repeat it, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Do the same thing with the bride. What is the token of your love? She answers the ring. And you'll have to help them with this point. I mean, some people actually do trust the ring bearer and the flower girl to get those rings safely to the front. It seems like most nowadays do not trust them. And usually the best man will have the ring for him. And I don't know where the bride's, the maid of honor, I don't know where she keeps it. But normally they'll be the ones in charge. But you may have people that, I mean, actually that little pillow used to carry the actual ring. But you get a little boy running around the church and you just don't know if he's going to drop it or lose it or what. So very seldom do they trust him, though. He's a ring bearer in name only, but not in truth. Okay, so with the exchangement of the rings, oftentimes at this point, now the pastor will step out of the way and the groom and bride will get together and light the unity candle. Some weddings do not have unity candles. Some is it sand? Yeah. Some of them just have vials of sand and pour it together. So that's up to the bride and groom, whether you want to encourage them one way or another. But I don't know. It's just something about people. Some people really like tradition and appreciate it, and other people just have to come up with something new. So pretty soon they'll be having ice cream up in front, and they'll each take a bite out of the same ice cream cone instead of lighting the same candle or something. It just has to be different. So as they light the unity candle, if they do that, normally at that point, after they do that, they pray. And that's another good place for special music if you need another spot. So when you are counseling with a couple and talking about a wedding ceremony, these at least you have some good points down. It may change a lot, but at least you have an idea and you can point them. This is a good spot for music if you want it. And then after that is a good spot for a gospel presentation, and I would strongly encourage them to do that in their wedding, because you know, often there are unsaved relatives or friends that would be there, so it's a wonderful chance to give the gospel. And especially if there's more than one pastor involved, like with Reese and Stacy, Pastor Folk did the actual ceremony part, and then they wanted me to do a gospel presentation. So I forget what order that was done in, but anyway, here's a good spot to do that. But it might be at the beginning, it might be at the very end. But anyway, it's a good spot here. So especially if two ministers are involved. Okay, so after that, they've been at the Unity Candle praying. And another good thing about that is as they are praying together, if that's when the gospel is being given, that's a good time to pray that God would work in hearts. So anyway, the lighting of the Unity Candle is done. Their prayer is done. Any special music, any gospel presentation is done. And so then the bride and groom come back together. And so you want to, in a rehearsal, encourage the maid of honor to keep rearranging the train of the dress. It might be very long and majestic, and it might be really no train. You know, it just might just be a long dress. So often there's a train of some length that has to keep being arranged. So the maid of honor would keep doing that. So anyway, you get them back in front of you and everything arranged, and then you say your words, you know, by the authority vested in me as a minister of the gospel. And in Michigan, you don't have to be licensed in Michigan. In the state of Tennessee, to legally perform a wedding in Tennessee, you have to be licensed by the state of Tennessee to perform a wedding. But in Michigan, you do not. So it just depends on where you end up. You know, if you end up in a different country, you'll just have to work with the laws of that country. And there are some people, I was asked to do a wedding once, and they made it clear to me that they were not going to get a marriage license. And the reason was, is they said, well, because that just then gives the state a license to run your home and your children. Well, that's really not what happens. The point is this. If the state wants to come in and take your children, it has nothing to do with whether the preacher was licensed or whether you have a marriage license. And I felt in this situation it was just kind of a spunky thing. And the point was this. If I would have officiated the wedding, then I would have been breaking the laws of the state of Michigan. And in this case, you know, it says we ought to obey God rather than man, but that's when obeying God would mean breaking man's law. And in this situation, I didn't see the grounds really for refusing to take a marriage license. In fact, as a Christian, to abstain from all appearance of evil, if I get married in the state of Michigan and I refuse to get a marriage license, in the state of Michigan, then I'm just living with someone. I'm not really married to them. And that's really a poor testimony there. And let alone down the line, you know, like Social Security, changing your name. You have to change in your name with Social Security. And if you need a copy of a marriage license to do that, you know, to me, it's just a bad testimony. It's like, oh, well, we're married, but we don't have a marriage license. Well, in the eyes of the state, you really aren't married. And I know in the eyes of God, you may be. But to me, so they had somebody else do the wedding. And that'll be a decision you have to make. You know, but in my case, I believe the Bible teaches that we're supposed to obey the government until or unless it causes us to disobey God somehow. And, you know, child protection services, I don't care if you have a valid marriage license or not, if the minister was approved by the state or not, they don't care. If they want to come and take your children, they're going to come and take your children, and they're not going to ask to see those papers. So I just felt like that was kind of a flimsy excuse. So they had somebody else do it. But as I said, that'll have to be your, if you're asked to do that, it'll have to be your decision to make. So, okay, at this point, you can tell the groom, you may kiss your bride. Unless, of course, you don't believe in kissing, then you wouldn't want to say this. So, at our wedding, you've heard the story many times, but in our rehearsal, the preacher tried to get me to kiss Sandy, my wife-to-be at that point. And I just said, I was kind of embarrassed, and I said, I can handle that part. Well, he thought I meant that he didn't even need to say anything at that point, that I was just going to, well, so we're going through the wedding, and I'm just trying to follow all the instructions, and the ceremony was done. He introduces us, and we start down the aisle, and I thought everything, I had a sigh of relief. I thought everything went fine. And then we're walking down the aisle, and my wife turns to me and says, we forgot to kiss. The veil is still over her face. Oh, no. So, boy, did I get teased on the way. It was the guest filed out. And so I was just trying to tell the pastor I could handle that part when the part came. But anyway, so my wife, before we got married, she worked in a nursing home. And afterwards, one of her coworkers asked her, do you not believe in kissing, like in your religion, something like that? I think she meant in public, but so anyway, it was all my fault, but anyway. So, so after the kiss, if that's not against their religion, then you introduce, you turn the groom and the bride around, face the congregation. The maid of honor hands the bride's bouquet back to her, rearranges her dress, and then I now introduce to you Mr. and Mrs., and then that would be the groom's full name, which they now are. Okay, and then they exit down the center aisle. Okay. So, let's see. Any questions about that? Yes. Oh, yes, there's lots of different ways. Yeah. I've done it where the bride and groom at that point, I think with your folks, I think they were praying. Oftentimes, especially if you're going to do the gospel, you can get like a double kneeling bench where, or it wouldn't have to be double, but sometimes there's like a step in front of, so you would have the unity candle, well, there's the two separate candles, then the unity candle, per se, would be like on a shelf, and then there'd be like a kneeling bench, and so sometimes the bride and groom do that, and then many times there's like kneeling benches pushed up to each other, so the unity candles would be on the top of that, and then they would be kneeling on each side, looking toward each other. And you might think, well, then they're separated from each other. But normally in that situation, you know, they would be like holding hands. And actually, let me back up just a little bit. The candles in that situation are not between them. It would be like, I can't all see here, but in that situation, you'd probably put the unity candles up here like on this shelf and then have them kneeling before, because you wouldn't want them to kneel toward the candles, toward the flames. You've got a bride, you know, with a veil, it might be pulled back, but you don't want hair singed or veils catching on fire. So in that situation, you would have the candles on a shelf and they would be kneeling in front of it there. But I mean, yes, sometimes the gospel, it depends on the gospel presentation. Like Brother Reese asked me to keep it to 10 minutes, and I think it was 20 or something. So it is a while for them to kneel. It's very worthwhile, though, to pray, you know, while the preacher's doing it. But like with Reese and Stacy, they had everyone sit down. Everyone go back at that point and sit down in the front rows. So that's probably more comfortable for the whole wedding party, especially if you get like the ring bearer and flower girl. They often have a hard time standing that long. And sometimes you have groomsmen that lock their knees and pass out. I believe one of the Snyder young men did that. I forget whose wedding it was, but he locked his knees. He suddenly hit the floor, and I don't know if he broke his jaw. I mean, it was some serious stuff, whatever happened. So you do not want to invite paramedics to your wedding in that way. It's going to ruin the whole thing. So you don't want that. If they were probably wise just in having the wedding party go back and sit down.
Yeah, it looks like yours is actually like
32 minutes. Oh, was it? Oh.
If you say 10 minutes, expect 3 times.
Yeah. And maybe it depends on who you ask, too. I was trying to do my best, but they said there was going to be some lost people there, and there were some things I wanted to get across to Reese and Stacy and some things to the lost, and it's, well, time flies when you're having fun. This is not set in stone. You can do it at any point. I'm not even sure at what point. Weren't all the vows after that in their wedding? It seems like Pastor Folk got up after that point.
Possibly.
I'm thinking. This is just a sample for some ideas, but it's, you can change it. You can throw the whole thing out if you want, but it's just, When I graduated, I had nothing to go by, and so I just wanted to give you something from ideas. But yeah, you can change it up or throw it out, whatever. But any other questions? Next time we'll get into, Lord willing, about, you know, when I first did a wedding, it was like, what side is the bride on? What side is the groom on? There are so many questions that as the minister officiating in the wedding, you need to have the answers, because if at rehearsal you say, I wonder what side the bride should be on, you know, they're going to have about zero confidence in your ability to lead it because you just have no idea. Okay, so anyway, any other questions? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for marriage, which you've ordained. And we thank you for godly homes. And I pray, Father, that you would help us, first of all, to have godly homes. And then, Lord, that we would help others get started with godly homes. And that we would help them to have a wedding focused on you and to get the gospel to folks. So, Lord, please help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.